and welcome to this episode of Turkish TV Time. Today we're talking about Şahmaran episode 5, 105. And today it is just Sophia and I because Ezgi cannot stand this show and is also very busy, but she will be back making her snarky commentary for our next show or our next couple of episodes, we promise. I am not drinking any tea today. Any tea?
Neither are we.
Damn. Okay.
Even though I should because I am sick.
You should. Yeah. I love tea with honey when I'm sick.
Yeah. I made like our local equivalent, but I made it over the weekend. Haven't had it since.
Well, talking about Şahmaran is sure to cure you.
For sure.
Okay, so now I'm going to take us through what happened in this episode. Sophia, feel free to interrupt at any time. Okay, so there's a disturbing story about an abused dog, and Maran is interrogating the dude that he tackled last episode, which I forgot his name, sorry. But it's really not important because we never see him again. But he says that Şahsu is awakening. And then we see the naked lady on the marble kind of twitching. And I guess the implication is that that is Şahsu or the spirit of Şahsu, which I know we were debating whether she was separate or part of Şahsu before. I'm still confused about it, but the editing definitely made it seem like it was Şahsu.
Yeah.
Şahsu is still taking like voice notes on her phone about her snake poisoning experience. And then she decides to bring a bundt cake over to the Adams family house to introduce herself to Maran's family, I guess, because she now is his girlfriend. And it's just so unbelievably awkward and terrible, but it's pretty funny. And then she's also like her hidden motive for this is that she remembers what happens when she was bit by the snake and she knows they're not telling her the whole truth. So that's what she really wants to find out. And so then she, as she's exiting, she knocks over some sketches and they kind of like jog her memory about the bathtub that they put her in. Not sure why that's important, but they were all sketches of snakes. And so the family kind of figures out that she does remember and she's not believing them. We see Davut, he's hammering a lock onto someone's room, I assume Şahsu's, and drives her to university. Maran is getting scaly. He's got like a big scaly patch on his pec. I don't know what is happening there, but it's gross. And he says it's too early, or the family says it's too early. So it's something that they expected, but it's not convenient. Şahsu asks Davut to talk to her about his sleeping problems because they have the same ones and he's just not very talkative. I don't think he tells her anything. Salih and Medine, who are the helper couple that work for Davut, are meddling with the magic rose bush because they really want to get pregnant. And so Salih, I guess he buries prayer beads next to it. I couldn't really tell what he was putting there, but they bury something next to it to try and like take on the fertility of this magic rose bush that grew up in one day. And then we go to university. Şahsu is lecturing on Şahmaran, which is, you know, ironic. And she is also that asshole teacher who assigns an essay due tomorrow, which is just why? Why would you do that to people? Don't do it. Cihan and Diba are on the phone together and Cihan knows that Şahsu is suspicious. He thinks he's like, you know, notes the fact that she's lecturing about Şahmaran. Maran shows up at the university for the first time to pick Şahsu up, I guess. And Cihan and Maran have like a dick measuring contest. And Cihan says, you will need me when Şahsu reveals herself. So not sure what that means, but they definitely don't like each other at all. Maran tells Shasu that he wants to make her queen of his kingdom, which I think he meant literally, but Shasu didn't realize that, and takes her to a beautiful mountain cottage that I guess his family owns. She doesn't seem surprised. She just is like fine being abducted to places all the time. It's very weird.
But that's that was so random, like that cottage that we never knew existed, and now it's a
So
cottage.
random. So random. Maran, I guess he's trying to like open up to Shasu, but he doesn't actually tell her the truth about anything. So it's kind of stupid. But he basically says that there's a blood feud that his family's involved in, that his mom died because of it, because they didn't let her go to the hospital. She gave birth alone in the cottage and died, which is horrible, because they were worried that Maran would be attacked because he's a boy. And we also learned that Dike and Bike are children from his dad's second marriage.
Diva and Bike.
Diva and Bike?
Isn't it? Or what are the names of them? I don't even know.
Diva is definitely one of them. Bike is definitely one of them. I don't know what the third one is. I thought it said Dike in the subtitles, but that could be wrong because that seems really like too much rhyming.
It's funny that they actually refer to themselves in that same conversation. Well, he says that they're like the Addams family.
Yeah, I know. I love that. It's like, yes, you are proving us right. We knew this the whole time.
I don't know what it said in Turkish, though.
Yeah, I assume it said the same thing. Maran apologizes for his sisters being so weird. Shasu asks himself about the pool, and he was like, oh, my sisters are weird and spiritual. So that wasn't convincing. We learned that Maran studied in Prague. No idea why that's relevant. And that Shasu like returns the favor of him telling her all these things by saying that her dad and her grandpa abandoned her mom and she grew up like that. So that turns them on, and they start making out. But then Maran is like, oh shit, I gotta go to the bathroom, and realizes that his snake thing is like a bigger problem. It's not just his peck anymore. It's like happening all over, and he definitely cannot take his clothes off in front of Shasu because that would be really bad. And then there's a fire, and like a, you know, like a cute little outdoor fire, but Maran freaks out looking at it, no idea why, says they have to leave. And then we realize that Arun, who's the snake face hoodie guy, is like coming to get them, and Maran calls Jihan for help, which was very surprising. Jihan, they get away, and Jihan confronts Arun, who's, and he says that Shasu is off limits, but Arun is like, no, dude, I came for you, not for Shasu, and you should help me abduct her. And then his eyes turned snaky, and I wasn't sure, we can talk about this later, but I wasn't sure whether he was being like compelled or whether he was just thinking about it. Maran asks Shasu to like elope with him, basically. Run away, and she says she'll think about it. And then all of a sudden, Maran is like half dead, and his sisters are carrying him into the house, and he's just like shedding snake skin, and it's really disgusting. Shasu goes home and sees her grandpa napping on the couch and handcuffs him to it, which is just like totally normal behavior. And oh, and then the final scene, sorry, is Arun's offer to Jihan and his eyes changing. And that is the end of the episode. Now we're going to move on into our gossip slash banter slash spilling the non-existent tea section. What would you like to tell us?
It was weird, like, because it just makes me wonder, like, what Shasu's state, like, final state is. It's also odd that, like, they're going to pit Jihan and Maran, like, one against the other when they've been, like, working together this whole time, or... I don't even know. Like, it's their relationship is strange.
It's very weird. And we also, like, Jihan's dad is like the number two, is Maran's dad's best friend, or like at least his employee. So yeah, it's weird.
But we don't know that in the first episode. We know that in the second.
Right. No, no, we knew that before. We knew that
we
before.
Did?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was kind of, like, the whole thing was so weird. Like, why does she now remember? Like, does Diba have psychic powers, or what's the deal with her?
For what? What did she do?
Because she's able to tell that the Shasu remembers the situation. You know,
I think it was just like her face was like, but maybe.
No, because she's the only one that can tell in theory.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's what I got from that part, but I don't know if I'm wrong. Yeah, I mean, it's funny that she chooses to like do a lecture about Shahmeran and how like women sacrificing themselves for something is like a big thing. And it's like a trope in society, mm-hmm. and like, it goes into psychology, and I think that certainly is very telling. And then she mentions these two women that we'll talk about in the history section, which I'm having a really hard time understanding how they connect with her lecture, to be honest. But we will get into that later in the history section. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not entirely sure why they're hiding everything from Shahsu, and if they will tell her eventually, because I feel like, I mean, if she's being transformed, like, she's going to find out that something weird is going on. Like, why don't they just tell her?
It's pretty obvious something weird is going on. Like, I don't know. Yeah, Shasu is so oblivious.
But she's definitely in danger, and I think she can tell that, too. So that's, like, also mm-hmm. seems to be too, like, really stressful for her and for the viewer, because we know that she's, like, about to get hurt everywhere. But right. then, like, she has no way to protect herself. So that's like really stressful. And then I did not understand why she tied her grandfather. Well, her grandfather first puts a lock. I don't know if it's in her door or his door.
Yeah, we don't know.
And the guy that works at the house is like very confused by it. But I mean, he says it's for his sleepwalking, and he's definitely like, both he and Shahsu are sleepwalking, and there's definitely something that's like triggering everything, because like a lot of weird things have happened recently, like according to what we learned during the episode. I don't know, like they're like building up to something, but it's getting really annoying that we're like 5 episodes in and we just don't know enough information for me to like actually be interested in what's going to happen. And
yeah,
I feel like this has been our comment for the past many episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know what's happening. And also, we don't particularly like anybody enough to be like concerned about what's going to happen to them.
Yeah. And like, I mean, it would be interesting to know how much of that story that he told Shahsu is actually true, and how much it's mm-hmm. like something that he made up to like placate her or like distract her.
I felt like it was true, because I think he was trying to tell her as much of the truth as he could without seeing any of the supernatural parts.
And then it was also weird how like now they're in love, when it's been kind of like such a weird road for the two of them. Like, I don't believe that they would be in love at this point, you know? Like,
no,
this
I completely agree with you.
Weird. Like, it doesn't feel natural. It's just, everything is so strange. It's like pretty, like a lot of things are so contrived. It's just really confusing as a viewer to try to understand like what the point, like what we're getting to, you know? It's just, I don't know. I'm kind of frustrated with the show, because like now I'm forcing myself to watch it, which is like quite unpleasant. Yeah. Like a viewer experience.
I mean, I don't hate it. Like, I actually think I like watching this show more than I liked watching Innocent or Masum, because that show was like so dark and like everyone was horrible. Whereas this show, at least I'm like, I like supernatural stuff. I'm intrigued about that. But yeah, it's definitely down there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm like torn about it, because like I just need to get some more information for this to be more interesting for me.
Yeah, agreed. Oh, I want, like, the epitome of that for me is Davut. Like, He's literally given us nothing. Like, why is this character even here? It should have been in episode two. We learned like his backstory and why he left them and what his deal is. But no, we've got literally nothing. He doesn't talk. He doesn't interact. He doesn't do anything. It's like, what is, why? Why Davut? Why he exists?
Yeah, it's quite odd. But like every character is so bizarre in the show. Like the professor now disappeared. Jihan is like now a bad guy. Then the sisters, like none of them have a personality of their own. And then Shafsu is like the most unpredictable character in the world. Like she just goes shows up to that house, like tries to interrogate everyone. And then she like is like she goes there, but she has no plan. Like she doesn't have a train of thought of what she's trying to ask, and like it's just like so out of the blue. It's weird. Like I don't know. Like it would make more sense if she was there because she's falling for Manoj, so she wants to know his family or something. But like I don't know. It was just everything like makes no sense.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I am starting to like the sisters more though. Like, I like how just weird and like, but they are weird in like a fun way, not in like a menacing way to her.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but like they could be more comic relief, you know, like they don't like
Yeah.
no character has like a role in the show. You know, it's like Shu, the character that something will happen to. Maran is a character that will like facilitate that something happening to her. And then everyone else is just like around and we're waiting to understand what the hell is up with each of them. It's just a
Yeah. Yep.
bizarre thing.
Agreed.
I just like I don't know, I feel like the show is just like there's been so many episodes, but they've really had no point. I don't know. I just like wish we had more information than we have now. Plus like we don't even know what her class is about because she just has like plot relevant lectures.
Listen, I have never taken a psychology class in college, but I
I did.
really don't think that that is what they're about.
Yeah, you
It
definitely
seems
don't
like,
get papers from one day to the next.
oh my God, no, that's a horrible thing to do. Like, please, anybody who teaches, please don't do that. You don't know what people are doing. That's really bad.
Yeah. And also, I wonder if she has different sections, because if you see Diba didn't show up to class that day, and like Shahsu doesn't seem to acknowledge that Diba is in her class. But Diba makes a comment about being in her class, and like it's
Right.
weird. Like it seems like Shasu hasn't realized that Diba's in her class, but like I don't know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Agreed. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm just like very confused about everything.
Yeah. Somehow I don't think the next two episodes are going to clear it all up for us.
I don't think so.
Okay. So the last scene where Arun says, "Yo, Jihan, like work for me." Was he like mind controlling him or what?
I think so, because why would his eyes turn a different color? Or
Yeah.
either that, or like he's like awakening an instinct in him or something, which odd.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought he was being controlled because of the eyes, but I don't know. We don't know anything about who this guy and the woman, the twitching marble lady that he works for, so.
Yeah. And then there's the woman. Well, no, that's I'm getting ahead of myself. But yeah, I'm just I don't know. The marble woman, like I think it's some like proto version of Shasu. It has to be, because like otherwise I don't know what else it could be.
Yeah, I was trying to like look at her and like figure out if it was the same actress. I think it
It
probably
definitely seems like
is.
it.
Yeah, I think it must be, but it's definitely not the same. Maybe it's like a time loop thing, like a different, or I don't know. Yeah, a different version of her.
Yeah, could
Because
be.
she's definitely clueless, like the one we
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember much other stuff from the episode to discuss.
Yeah, I think that was it. I feel like this episode, I feel like the episode 4, we did learn a lot of stuff, and this episode, it really slowed down again, which is unfortunate. Okay, so now we're going to move on into the history section where Sophia proves that Shasu is terrible at her job.
That's mean. So we're going to talk about the two women that Shahsu mentioned, which are Nene Hatun. She was a Turkish folk heroine, and then Halide Edip Adıvar. Right? Those were the two
Yep.
that they discussed. Just double checking, making sure that I'm not saying dumb stuff. So basically, both of them were like figures in the Turkish independence movement, in different how do you say it, in different capacities. So basically, Nene Hatun, she was born in 1857. We don't know the date. And she died in 1955, so she lived a pretty long life. And she fought against Russian forces when Fort Aziziye was captured in Erzurum at the start of a war between Russia and Turkey, the Russo-Turkish War of 1877-1878. As we've previously discussed in this podcast, Turkey has always been obviously very well located geographically, and for that reason, it's been an object of interest for several foreign powers in the region, one of them being Russia, who's always been very interested in acquiring a freshwater port. So, well, before the war, Nene lived in a neighborhood of Erzurum called Aziziye, which was like there was a fortification that defended the city. And then in one night in November, her older brother died, and because he had returned home wounded from the war, and the fort was captured like 2 nights after. And then when she heard about the capture, she like kissed her dead brother and took an oath to avenge his death. And she had two children, which she left at home in order to go and like fight. And so she joined the counterattack with her brother's rifle and a hatchet. And basically, she like there was a fight, like a hand-to-hand fight, and around 2,000 Russian soldiers were killed. And she was found unconscious, and she was wounded and had a bunch of blood, but she was like grasping her hatchet, and she was like known for being a hero and a symbol of bravery.
That's cool.
Yeah. So she lived in Aziziye for the rest of her life, and her husband died in the Battle of Gallipoli. And she in fact like was commemorated as the last survivor of the war, of the Russo-Turkish War of 1877-1878. And she was known as the mother of the Third Army. And she was named Mother of Mothers on Mother's Day in 1955. And she was actually like laid to rest in the Martyrs Cemetery. And there's a Turkish movie about her called Gazi Kadın. And there was another movie about her released in 2010. She was like a, I guess if we're tying it back to Shahmaran, which I'm not entirely sure how it ties back, but I'm gonna have. It seems like she sacrificed, like she was going to leave her children orphaned just to fight for the liberty and the of the nation. So definitely she like fought for her country and wanted sovereignty for her country. So that was like her sacrifice, her life, and like the care of her children for her country, I would say. And apparently, just to give a little context on the Russo-Turkish War of 1877-1878, it was not only against Russia, but it was against a coalition that included Bulgaria, Romania, Serbia, and Montenegro. And it was fought in the Balkans and the Caucasus. And it was like some of the reasons were the territories that Russia had lost in the Crimean War, and like asserting the strength of the Balkan nations against the Ottoman Empire. So that's just a very general overview. And it was just like a war that took place when like all the Balkan nations were fighting for sovereignty and trying to establish themselves as countries. So that seems to be the reason why it happened. And then we can go to Halide Edip Adıvar. And she was a Turkish novelist, teacher, and feminist intellectual. And basically, like, her whole thing was advocating or, like, criticizing that Turkish women had a low status in Turkish society and that they, like, needed to advocate more for themselves. And so she was a pan-Turkist, so she, like, wanted to reunite the larger country of Turkey, which, you know, it's, like, this whole dream that was going back to Central Asia and everywhere that the Turks originated from. So she was born to an upper class family in 1884. So both women like lived in a similar time. And she, like, her father was a secretary to Abdulhamid II, which was one of the last Ottoman sultans. And she was highly educated, being of like a high social status. Her husband was a mathematician and astronomer, and they had two sons. And so she started, like, she was a novelist, but she also wrote a lot about, like, the status of women and what I mentioned previously. And she divorced her husband in 1910. But she was, like, a main intellectual in Istanbul, and her home, like, was a place where a lot of people met to talk about Turkishness. And she like created an organization to elevate women. And yeah, it seems she remarried then, and she became a teacher in literature, a lecturer, and she became like very involved in nationalism. And then she was an Ottoman inspector for schools, which is interesting.
She sounds like a very interesting person.
Yeah, but she, like, her novels were about strong, independent female characters and who, like, achieved goals amongst a lot of opposition. And she also wanted to highlight the role of women in Turkish independence. Yeah, I mean, I don't see a lot of other information about her. And I really don't know how her story ties into everything that our dear friend, what's her, Şahsu.
Şahsu.
I have blue brain. I don't know. I honestly don't understand what it has to do with her lecture.
Okay, so now we're going to move on into our favorite and final section, which is What the Fuck, Sultan of Success, and Fatma's Hit List. So, what the fucks? What do you have?
Şahsu showing up at the house and, like, being weird about everything and, like, interrogating them in their own house. That was weird. Yeah, like, Maran interacting with this dude. Also, like, what in the world is going on with Maran? We have no clue. Nobody has told us why he's, like, shedding his flesh or whatever.
He was also, like, perfectly fine in the car. And then the next thing you see, he's, like, can't even walk.
It's so bizarre. Like, I'm just very confused. Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, it's freaking confusing.
My biggest what the fuck is something that you brought up earlier, but it's like, the chemistry between Şahsu and Maran. It's just not there. And I don't think it's the actor's fault. Like, I don't think they've given enough time or enough personality to each of these characters. But the idea that they're like star-crossed lovers and they're going to elope together and they're so important to each other, I don't buy it at all.
Yeah.
I have what the fuck to Şahsu's bundt cake. Like, no, there's no way that she's a baker. There's no way that dude owns a bundt pan. There's just no way.
I was going to say, like, did she buy it? It looked really nice and elaborate.
It looked really nice. There's no way. I mean, she must have made it because, like, who? I don't know. I feel like that's weird to bring over, like, a store-bought thing that you put onto a plate. And I don't know. But maybe. Wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah.
Okay, when they're talking about, I guess they're talking about the, oh, they're talking about Maran's like skin condition and how it's too early. And the framing of the shot, the dad is like, there's stairs in the living room, I guess, and he's like down a couple stairs, but it literally looks like he's 3 feet tall. And it's so bizarre. And I was like looking at it, like, did I never notice that the dad has like, is literally 3 feet tall? I feel like I would have noticed this. And then later they like turn the camera again and he's like standing up with the rest of them. But it was just so bizarre and like such a sloppy shot. I feel like, I don't know. It was really weird. I hated it. And then what the fuck to Shasu's like giant cargo shirt with the ragged edges that she's wearing over her sundress? That was so weird.
Yeah, that was weird. I felt like that dress was super revealing to go to class and to go to the neighbor's house too. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that was fine for the neighbor's house, but like for giving a lecture, I feel like it was a little much. So I understand why she wanted to put a shirt over it, but the shirt that she chose was really weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Sultan of Success?
Huh. I don't know. I guess like Diva or something. I don't know. Or Jihan? I mean,
maybe Shasu? Because like she's in love. Things are going well. Nothing bad has happened.
I guess.
Fatima's hit list?
Show writers for not giving us anything to like get some interest from.
I agree. It's definitely whoever, whatever job that is, showrunner, screenwriter, I don't know, but watch out. Fatima is going to come and make you rewrite it and reshoot it all for free. Okay, well, thank you all so much for listening. Next time, we're going to be talking about episode 6, where hopefully we find out more about everything. Talk to you guys next time.